Is there a doctor in the house?
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I fucking do give a shit. So, did you miss me last week? Did you even notice I wasn't here? Rob Pritchard took over, and he's brilliant and funny, and he knows music, and I'm sure he did like an amazing job, and I'm grateful to him. I was in South by Southwest. Can you believe it? They let people like me in there, but they do. And my husband was giving a spiel on the work he's done about Woody Guthrie's last years at Greystone. We're proud. Yay, Phil. Yay, Phil Bueller. And he was on a panel. Not a panel. He did his own talk with Woody Guthrie's granddaughter, Anna. So I spent a whole week alone with my husband in a festival, which is kind of interesting. I talked about it in group therapy yesterday, so I am not going to discuss it here because I already talked about it in an appropriate place. This is not an appropriate place for that. It was good to be away, and it's good to be back. And I went through a little stress this week because the guy that I thought was going to be on didn't like get back to me, and then I immediately went into my dark place where, of course, no one, you know that self-pitying place that's so much fun to get to so quickly. And then, so I got there, and then sort of coincidentally, I got an email about this artist from L.A. that I've been dying to have on the show when she comes to New York, and coincidentally, she's here. She's right here in front of me. I can see her. Hi. Hi, Genevieve. Genevieve Gagnard. Say hi. Just say hi.
Hi.
Okay, get a little closer to the mic.
All right.
Okay, now say your name.
Genevieve Gagnard.
And that's like a French name or something.
It is like a French name or something.
Really? So where would be the French in there? Do you have relatives from France?
My dad is Creole from Louisiana.
Ah.
So that's the French connection.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little heads up about Genevieve's work, and then we're going to get right into it because there's so much to talk about. Her work is about I'm not going to say what her work is about because I'll get it wrong right in front of her, and I'm not doing that to myself. But I find what's interesting is that, A, her work is just brilliant and fun and funny, and she uses herself a lot in the work, and she creates really fun, funny environments. And it's all going to be posted on my Facebook page and all that, so you can find it. But also, I think a lot of her work stems from the fact that she has an African-American father and a Caucasian mother. But when you look at her, and I'm looking at her right now, is your hair colored, Genevieve, or is that natural?
It's naturally red.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You're a ginger.
I'm a ginger.
Thanks to South Park, that word has become part of our vocabulary, right? Is that right?
Yeah, I think
so. Is that how you notice?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little closer to the mic. A little closer to the mic.
All right.
So anyway, that's what I have to say. Genevieve, so I'm so curious. I have no idea how this is going to go, but I'm going to really ask her a lot of questions what that's like, because that must be like just so fucking strange when people look at you and they think you're like Irish Catholic, but you're really like your mother's, you're from a multi-culti family. So we're going to talk a lot about that, I think, because I'm really curious to hear about that. Also, another thing that I find particularly interesting about her from what I've read is that she's gotten into art in kind of a sidewise way. She wasn't like, you know, like a lot of, like me, like a lot of us brought up and taken to museums, I'm thinking. You're from a small town, right?
Yeah, in Massachusetts, so.
Yeah. So how many kids in your high school?
There was 100 kids in my graduating class, or just shy of 100.
100, yeah, so that's small. And did you grow up there your whole life?
Yep, I sure did.
And so you kind of came into art, finding out about art like really on your own. What did you want to do originally?
I guess I always wanted to do art. I was just never really encouraged to do that, like in high school. And so I would, like, I was into taking art classes at school, but, you know, when it came down to, like, what are you going to do after school? Like, what are you going to go to school for, to college for? I ended up going to Johnson & Wales for baking and pastry.
Oh, right. Pastries. Yeah. Pastry so, chef.
Pastry
which,
arts.
Which I could sort of see in your work almost. Yeah. I could sort of, because it's got all that, like, happy birthday cake feeling. It's all birthday cake. Kind of dark birthday cake, though. The kind of, the kind I like, the kind that has like some edge or something really wrong.
Yeah. You cut into it and you're like, oh, that's not what I expected.
Oh, that looks like blood. Is that blood or jelly? I don't know. Something like that, right?
Maybe.
Here I am making all these assumptions. But anyway, so I just want to let you guys know that before we get started. But her career is sort of like she had the show at Spring Break. She had a big write-up in the New York Times. Your career, like, are you happy with your career right now? You must be. You have to be.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah, it's going really well, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Really great.
Yeah. See, I'm telling you, you guys are so lucky she's here because in a year from now, forget it, it's either NPR or nothing.
Stop.
Will you ever come back here?
Sure.
You've only been you haven't even been here for a whole hour, but I always want you coming back.
There's a cat upstairs, so you like channeled.
Oh,
know,
you like cats.
Cat lady,
oh,
you know?
Good. Lenny will be happy to hear that. He's not allowed in here, though, because people have allergies. So let's start by talking about your childhood. Can you give me a little bit of a picture of like what the town you grew up in was?
The town I grew up in was lower middle class, white. suburban and, you know.
So, like, was there a mall? Did,
No, we have, like, a few traffic lights, a library.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's got, we got a Walmart at one point.
Okay, does everybody know everybody kinda?
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's a little bigger than the town that I lived in before I went to Yale, which is called Wendell, but we can talk about that in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the town I grew up in, Orange, it's not like you know everyone, but
right, it's a small town. They don't have like a big museum and stuff like that.
No.
And then
no,
your
no.
parents, so what did they do?
So my father, he is originally from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He's retired now, but he went to the New England Conservatory of
wow.
Music in Boston, and his instrument of choice was the bassoon.
Oh.
So he was.
Well, I don't think that a college advisor involved in that decision, did they?
He was always into, band and instruments. So he went to school for that and, played in orchestras and then later on worked as a band teacher and music teacher in the inner city schools in Boston. So he would commute from Orange to Boston
and what
each day.
That, what like, does that mean? Like how far is
it's
that?
It's like an hour and a half.
One way?
One way, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then what about your mom?
And my mom is originally from York, Maine. Mm-hmm. And she is Jill of all trades, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
At one point had her own art rubber stamp business.
Really?
Yeah, she's a real people person. She loves collecting things. She has a really good eye for just like vintage and
You grew up with like tons of stuff around the house, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She was like a little bit of a collector.
Totally. Yeah. Still is. And
still is.
Yeah. She's been an amazing help and kind of inspiration, like subconscious maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know you're close to her because you've already like Instagrammed her since you've been here.
Yeah.
Lenny, like, but something really worth Instagramming.
Yeah, like I had to fill her in on where I'm at right now.
So that's nice that you guys are close. And how about do you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have three brothers.
Wow.
I have a half brother and then I have two other brothers that are my full brothers. And then I'm in the middle. in between. You know, I have younger and two older.
So there's four kids in your family?
Yeah.
And you're the only girl?
I'm the only girl.
And would you say two younger, one older?
One younger, two older.
One younger, two older. And then there's a half-brother?
My half-brother, yeah. My mom was married once before, and she had also two, a black man. And so, yes, rumor is true. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well.
Anyway.
Hey, shout out to black men everywhere. Who gives a shit whether that rumor's true or not? They're, you know, just shout out. Your guys are hot. There's a lot of hot black guys. No question about it. Just in general. So, especially your dad, probably. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Jesus. How inappropriate.
This is going dark.
You're never coming back. Anyway, so your parents, did they have a good relationship?
Yeah, they met in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So they both ended up from where they were from and meeting in Boston.
And how did they meet? What do they have in common, you think?
They have the Baha'i faith.
They're religious?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a...
Like, are they religious? Like, they go to church together? Are they serious? Is religion a major factor in their lives?
I think it was more so when they met. That's how they met.
Do they go? Are they super religious now, or just casually religious?
They're spiritual, and I guess I don't know enough about where they're at with that.
Well, it's obviously not really obvious.
It's not really obvious. No.
And so,
they're not uncomfortably religious.
Okay. Well, that would be religious at all for me. Okay. And their relationship is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still together and they still live in Orange together.
So would you consider it a fairly healthy, happy household?
As much speaking. As you could say that. I mean, we weren't, I'm thinking of like, I don't know if the Cosbys is the best reference, but, you know, we're not cookie cutter. It's like we have our shit just like everyone else
does. No, but like, you know, you're all together and your family's, you know, everybody's I get people on here where they're not talking to siblings and mothers and fathers and.
No, we're pretty.
Pretty three or four divorces. So yeah, so you guys have a nice relationship. Are you the whitest looking one? I'm going to talk about race openly.
No, my mom
and it
is.
Probably make all sorts of faux pas. I'm willing to live with that. I'm willing to live with that.
That's my everyday. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you get mad at me, you can just tell me. If I say the wrong thing, just come right out. Let me know.
Okay.
I have no qualms about hearing it. I need to learn. I need some schooling about it myself. So help me out here.
Sure.
But your mom obviously is the most Caucasian looking, but you are obviously Caucasian looking. And are your brothers Caucasian looking?
Well, my brothers have dark hair. So my light hair, I guess, I mean, we have light skin too, but a lot of times you can, I don't know, it's a strange thing to navigate. Like usually people of color will kind of like, no, but white people will be like, there's no way.
That's so interesting. So like when you were growing up, if people saw your family, would they all think that like, you know, your father was a stepfather or something like that? Or how did that play out? How did it play out for you?
They knew that was my dad. I mean, I remember one time we were driving cross country. We were going to Louisiana on a car trip to see family. And I remember going to a restaurant and someone and the waitress asking if we were all on the same bill, which I thought was weird. So that, like, not in our town because everyone knew, like, you know, like you were asking, like, does everyone know each other? For the most part, yes. So I remember in high school, different experiences. Like I was walking down the hallway once and this girl came up to me and she was like, so are you like mulatto? And I had no idea what that term meant at the time. And so I went home and I was like, Mom, what does that mean? I don't
know what that means. What does it mean? I forget.
I mean, it's usually – it's like a slang for mixed race.
I thought maybe it was like a slang for Spanish and white, but it's any mixed race?
That's what you think. Yeah. I think it's black and white and it's like
– Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's not bring back words that are like nasty and have retired. Let's not bring them back. How did your town, like, did you, like, I'm, of course, wondering if you had to deal with, like, being ostracized and all that stuff. So I have no idea. So what was, was it normal to you? Did you have, what was growing up in that kind of family like? As far as, you know, as far as race goes and being accepted.
When I was at home and with my family, it wasn't a thought. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we're different.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the world, sometimes it was more obvious. In my town, we had like three or four other families that were mixed race. So there was a group of us.
Oh, that's cool.
So
did you wind up, like, hanging out with those people more?
I'm just joking.
I'm hanging by a thread here, honey. I mean, I'm just going to go over the edge in a minute.
Sorry,
I'm
just joking.
I don't know where the landmines are. Assume that I'm well-intentioned. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'm really sarcastic.
We're going to work. Okay, we're working with that.
We had, like, I think – an understanding and like a bond, like the children of those families, all of us together, mm-hmm. and all of us looking slightly different. Mm-hmm. And like my biggest thing is that like there's no formula of what a mixed race person looks like. So for me to have to like on the regular explain myself, like that's where the art is.
Right.
Like what, like it makes it so I can kind of discuss those things and navigate that a little easier.
Right, and probably understand exactly how you feel, which is probably still confusing.
Yeah, when you're asking me, like, to tell you the right way to talk about something, I don't always know either, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot of the things that I do in my work is, like, asking questions. Like, what happens if I put this and this next to each other? Like, what kind of reaction does it get? And what does it mean? And, you know.
Right. So you learn a lot by putting your work out into the world and seeing how people react to it. And it's different than them reacting directly to you because they're reacting to, like, an inanimate object, right, that they're projecting on. Is that what happens?
Or a character that I portray.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So it makes it a little easier. Like, once the photograph is on the wall, I'm slightly removed from it, you know?
Sure.
Like, during the process, I might feel really self-conscious about an image I make and then have to discuss it, you know, with friends and family and finally come to that decision of what putting yourself out there in a certain way to get that message across. Because it's not just about the race thing. It's about, you know, body positivity as well for me. So kind of just putting myself out there in a way where I'm like, okay, I still notice like my flabby arms, but am I just gonna like embrace that and like help other people just accept it and embrace it as well?
Right, because because that is such a hot issue. I mean, you're 32. I should mention that because that gives everybody out there in Radio Land a reference. I mean, I think you're awesome looking. But, yeah, I mean, you know, in the entertainment, if we were going to be in the entertainment world, you know, I get the Hollywood Reporter. I know what those stupid standards are. We all know what that is. And your photographs are so professional, you know, so beautifully executed as well. So, you know, I think particularly in that kind of environment, not fitting a stereotype it makes a stronger point when the work is so beautifully finished about stereotypes, right?
Cool.
Thank you. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, that was nice.
uh, So I just want to ask you a couple more questions and then we can move off of this. But I'm just like, so I'm imagining that you felt like a weirdo outsider, but is that my imagination or did you not feel that way?
I did and still do. I don't know if that's strictly just because of my background or
your race.
My race, but I think I'm just like maybe just a
weirdo
wacky,
anyway.
Yeah, like a wacko
forget about the
artist
rest.
Person.
But what about your brothers? Did they feel, do you think they were affected by, you know, did they feel like outsiders? Do you think they were treated like outsiders? Were you ridiculed? Were you guys made fun of because you were mixed race? Or was it accepted?
There was like, it wasn't, no, we were fairly accepted, I think.
That's
and
good.
I was actually really reserved as a young person. And I was either like my younger brother's sister or my older brother's sister. So I was like, I was never... Like
I
me.
See. Oh, that's nice that you had that, like, protection, little protection there maybe.
And my youngest brother was, like, kind of a football star type.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my older brother is into, like, music and just I think maybe he would say that he felt it a little bit more. But for the most part, we all kind of – Yeah, I don't know. I can't like maybe reference a specific incident they had.
It wasn't like a super big deal.
No, like we did have some crazy neighbors once that were super racist and said they were going to burn a cross on our front lawn and stuff like that.
Cool.
And called us not monkey cool. kids. And so it's, you know,
crazy.
Like those weird things like stay in my memory and.
Sure. Yeah, because those are...
But it wasn't an everyday occurrence either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of reason to be brutalized, but it sounds like your family was pretty well accepted. And it also sounds like, I mean, I'm thinking about, I was going to say, like, I was brutalized because I was in a rich Jewish neighborhood and we didn't have, we lived in an apartment, but... I digress. So what I want to say is that it seems like your parents... have really good work ethic, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And seem like they're pretty good examples and pretty to get maybe fairly together people and manage to get everybody to sort of rise above that a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, my mom is such a people person that we would – she would, you know, I mean, us as a family, we would go visit lots of friends and people of all ages. So – we kind of have a way of just naturally being able to talk with most people. And
so in a way, it was probably really a strengthening aspect for your family because there's something that's, you know, a little unusual that you guys – that probably kept you – you know, probably was bonding in a way and helped you understand how to deal with the difficulties of humanity.
Yeah, I think my parents have really strong characters that helped us
in many ways.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really inspiring. I'm so glad to hear that. And I'm sure it puts your work in a more positive, you know, you're probably in a more positive way, which in other words, like your background might be confusing, but it doesn't also mean that you're necessarily upset or angry or disappointed about it. You may be happy, you know, you may be, I think maybe there's part of it that you, you know, just enjoy playing with. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think now like that I'm making the work, like when I was younger, I was more quiet and reserved and I didn't really tap into a lot of the things that I'm doing in my work now. So a lot of the times I look at my stuff as kind of being childish.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a negative, but like I'm like, oh, I'm asking all these questions now that I wanted to kind of ask when I was younger, but just didn't know how to like direct my voice, I guess.
Okay, this is the last, very last question I just had in my head that I wanted to ask you. And then we're going to move completely off this topic.
Okay.
Which is, did you ever feel like you had to take sides like with your parents that one was, not that your parents would have wanted you to, but did you ever think of, like, you had to be more protective of your father because he was black, or you didn't like the way one of them was being treated, or did you ever feel like that, like you had to take sides in any way or any of that?
No.
I'm really looking for the dirt here. I'm trying. No.
No, I don't, like...
No.
No, I don't think
that's
so.
That's a no. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, that's a no. All right, good. So let's talk about how your work, how you became an artist, because like we were saying, you're from a small town, and I guess your parents are pretty, they're creative people, obviously, right?
Definitely, yeah.
So creativity must have been encouraged in your household and brought forth, right? Is that right?
My dad has like more of a like sensible head on his shoulders in terms of like, okay, like what's the next plan? Like, you got to get your degree, you got to get this, you got to, you know, like you got to kind of get your stuff together so you can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily in art, you know. He was kind of like, well, what are you going to do? Like, what's going to put, you know,
were you good
food
in
on
school?
The table? No, I wasn't. I was, you know, I all of my close friends were in honors classes, and I would have to run and hide in the SPED classroom. I don't know if I should call it SPED, sorry.
What's that mean?
Special ed. and I, like, during the hall, when everyone's passing in the halls, and I would just, like, hide in the back corner. So I wasn't a good student. I mean, it wasn't, I had, like, I have dyslexia, and.
Mm-hmm. I was going to just say that. I find a lot of really smart, creative people have dyslexia, and that's why they don't do well in school. There's a lot of
them. But I was
them.
Never really told that. So, and I, for, in my town, the school.
Look at me. I diagnosed that. That was free, by the way. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. It was like in the special ed classes, there was, you know, people with severe learning disabilities, mm-hmm. or like physical disabilities,
sure.
that needed attention. And then like the disciplinary kids that they would put all in the same
right.
room. So I kind of then got stuck in the middle of that again,
oh,
you know.
Man.
So I never really got the specific help to get
right.
out of it. And then finally, like my senior year, I was like, Mom, just sign me out of those classes. I can get through it, you know. So I was able to, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you wound up getting a master's degree from Yale.
I did.
So, like, how did you get there from where we are in high school to Yale?
Okay. I'll make it. I don't know. Just tell me.
We
if
only
I'm,
have
like
3 hours. No, but I mean, like, so
well,
you developed
you
as an artist. You went
yeah.
to undergrad, right?
Yeah. So what happened after cooking school, I was just like, okay,
oh,
I
oh, you
can't
went
do
to
this.
Cooking
yeah.
school instead of college, or that was college?
It was a 2-year associate's.
And then you
degree.
Imagined you were going to have a life in a, like a pastry, as a pastry chef?
I don't think I imagined that. I just knew I needed to get away from the town that I was grew
mm-hmm.
up in.
Did you do well in pastry school?
No, not really, not particular. I mean, I did what I had to do, but I didn't like excel
didn't.
In it. I loved decorating, but I didn't. I didn't enjoy like
the science
of
part,
it.
Yeah.
yeah. So I excelled in like the decorative aspects
right.
of it, and I had one particular chef that I think could see that I was like struggling and didn't really know what I wanted to do next, and
mm-hmm.
he encouraged me to do these different art. Things like he would give me like little assignments.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And you know, he told me he had gone to RISD before that for in design school. I think he said furniture design. It's kind of slipping my mind now, but so he was really supportive, and I was making all these things that I wasn't really like tapping into before, and
mm-hmm.
So it encouraged me to like, because I was kind of deciding the school was turning into a 4-year program,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, should I try and stay on for 2 more years? But it wasn't really my passion, so he kind of encouraged me with those projects to like maybe, you know, just get your associates. And then I moved back home and went to Greenfield Community College,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of where everything kind of started to make sense for me. I was like, wow, I'm doing art. I just kind of took all, like, you know, drawing,
mm-hmm.
Intro to photo and mm-hmm. all the basics, and just fell in love with
you
that.
Found
I was like, oh,
yourself.
I found something I'm good at, that feeling, because I felt like in high school I'm not good at anything,
yeah,
you know?
No, I know that feeling too.
So
you found that you were really connected to the art you were making, and then you applied to Yale. Is that
no?
You went.
It wasn't
you
that
applied
easy.
Twice. Twice, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to for undergrad. I went to Mass College of Art in Boston. So for like 3 years at community college, I transferred over to Mass College of Art in Boston, and graduated in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And then took another year or two off, just kind of – I worked some, like, pastry jobs and different things like that. During those times, I would go back to the community college and just take a class here and there. I had this one photography teacher, Tom Young, who was just an incredible mentor, and I just
– So you had people who really saw your talent and tried to help you shape it yourself. And so what led you to – applied to Yale twice, right?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of at an in-between point. I was taking a class at GCC, but then I, you know, was done. And then I ran into one of my painting and drawing teacher at Target, and he was like, "So, when are you applying to grad school?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't really think that was an option for me."
Oh, wow.
And it just kind of got the wheels turning, and I just started looking up, because I was mostly into photography, and I just started looking up the best programs. It was kind of between Yale and RISD, but I had already lived in Rhode Island where the cooking school was, and I was just like...
So you must have been really excited. How did being at Yale affect you? Like, how did it affect your work? Like, what was it like when... I mean, it must have been kind of shocking when you first got there, I imagine, from, like, being from a small town. I mean, I guess you had an undergrad degree, or what was it like when you first got there?
Well, it's a highly competitive program, and it's also a very traditional program in terms of the type of photography that's made there. And the stuff that I applied with was more traditional because my teacher at the community college, Tom Young, was also from a very traditional background. So I grew up with, like, being influenced by all these great white male photographers, but and was photographing in the town that I lived in Wendell, which is not too far from Orange, and was photographing, like, my community and the people in town that I was ringing up at the Wendell Country Store.
So it
was
pretty normal stuff when you started. And did you find...
I would put myself in the pictures, and, like, I would photograph myself in their spaces with that idea of, like, do I fit here? Does this make sense that I'm in this space? Where do I belong, kind of thing.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. So that's how you first started doing that.
Yeah.
But you found Yale to be, I've read that you found Yale to be, did you find it to be restrictive to be in a school, like a school kind of environment, like where they have certain ideas or?
No, I actually love the school environment, but restrictive in the way that I was starting to create outside of the box that I applied with, the work that I applied with. And just making all sorts of stuff. Like, I kind of really at the beginning turned the camera on my family. I was I applied with black and white photography. I started shooting color. I was also making these lip sync videos. I remember a friend of mine telling me, like, this is where you just, like, kind of take chances and do whatever comes to mind, because once you get out there in the world,
right,
like, you can't kind of, like, take that back, you know?
Right, right.
So it was a lot of playing, and it was also a transition with the school that Todd Papa George, who was the head of the department for so long and kind of made it that amazing school that it was and is still, but just a different vibe that Gregory Crutzen is now the head and bringing to the program. So I got in when Todd was still there for a year, and then the second year he wasn't there. So it was like a...
So has it changed? Did it change when Gregory Crutzen took over?
Go ahead. No, I don't know how to explain, like, if it's a change in necessarily the
maybe
faculty.
Maybe not good or bad, but maybe the vibe is just... It was more...
A little less rigid, maybe?
became more rigid or less rigid?
I think less rigid. I mean, Todd knows what he likes in a very specific way and grew up and photographed in a very traditional way and makes...
So it became less rigid.
I think so.
And that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, not that the stuff I was putting up on the walls still like clicked with everybody. It didn't. A lot of times they were just like, well, where are the photos?
Because you were using like not photographic items.
Yeah, I was photographing myself as characters, but I was also making shoes and collage and video.
So was that difficult for the people at school? Was that was that not
for the faculty?
Yeah, or the system?
I think it just like my whole class was kind of in that mode.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to say about the changes, I think it also depends on the 10 group of students that are in the program at the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we were all kind of feeding off each other and just going outside of that tradition a little
bit. And probably a lot of them are still your friends today.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to a bunch of SVA photography salons, a lot of them, and it never feels like it's just photography to me, I'll tell you that much. So, let's talk about you, like how you must be sick of being compared to Cindy Sherman. So that comes up a lot, right? What happened there in school? Did you start hearing that or?
Yeah. That's a very common thing, at least
for everyone.
Yeah. Just, do you know this person's work? And it's like, yes, obviously I know Cindy Sherman's work and she's amazing, and I'm doing something a bit different, you know?
I know, because one time I was thinking about making this painting that said something like, my work is just like Cindy Sherman's. Because that's like a cliche, isn't it?
It feels, and I mean, I also, even from her perspective, it's just like, she's probably like, no, that's not like mine either, you know?
But I also think that your work has a certain kind of vulnerability. I don't know. You know, I'm just going to rag on Cindy Sherman a little because it's fun for me. And I'm not a photographer. I don't have to, like, have a really strong opinion, or it doesn't affect me in the same way. But I think her work, and also, you know, I'm in her age group. I've seen the work from the beginning. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of her work is really amazing. And she's, you know, she's a great artist and a hard worker, and I'm sure, you know, all that stuff, right? But I still, what bothers me, and this isn't even her fault, what bothers me about her is the symbol she's become in the art world, that she's, like, she's safe. I just find her work has become very safe. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely hear what you're saying.
Okay. And I think that, like you, and I think a lot of other people, I think there's that her work lacks some vulnerability. And I think she, as a person, as a art world participant or whatever, is able to, like, I get mad at her because she's like the Beyonce of the art world. Do you know what I mean? She doesn't ever have to say anything. She doesn't ever have to show up anywhere. Her work just goes sky high. People are always, like, enamored with her. And, like, where she's, like, to me, what makes me mad is how hidden she is behind her work and how everyone is so happy with that because they're comfortable with it. Do I just sound angry, like an angry, bitter old lady? Or
it sounds like you might have to interview yourself after. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, no, I've given up. You know, I've been in therapy since I was 18. I'm still working on it, but, you know, I am fully neurotic in every way that I am, and I'm trying. I've tried to manage. I'm coping. I'm not curing. I'm coping with myself. So what is that?
Think when her work came out, like, she's everything that you were describing about my stuff, you know, like, I think because her name is more familiar, that it maybe the work isn't being delved into as much as it was when it first came out. I don't know.
Hmm.
So, and I mean, everyone also is just like looking for the next new thing.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, I don't think it's fair to write it off in any way, but it's...
No, I'm not writing it off.
Sure,
I'm
sure.
Just... What bothers me is how the art world applauds the lack of risk-taking and vulnerability. Particularly the vulnerable... you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we don't know... Like, vulnerability is each person's own kind of boundaries and, like... So hers are different than mine and you know, anyone else's. So,
well, when I think of the film series, those seem very she's portrayed in a fairly glamorous way. No.
Yeah.
Whereas you're portrayed in a pretty in like all sorts of ways. And some of them are pretty like not glamorous.
But my characters are, you know, reflections of myself and my own thoughts of myself a lot of times, mm-hmm. or people that I grew up around, or, you know, and appreciating the not so glamorous as much as, because some of the characters I do, like, you know, get more done up or whatever, but I...
Trashy.
So, when people like something I thought about when you were doing the Cindy Sherman comparison thing is that I don't think of her as the first person. I think of drag culture altogether when I think about the stuff that I do in terms of dressing up,
mm-hmm.
and just,
yeah,
kind of playing up all of your things, like whether they're good or bad in terms of, you know,
mm-hmm.
what's popular,
mm-hmm.
or what's seen as ideal,
mm-hmm.
and just embracing that.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned? What kinds of things do you learn? I mean, this is a broad question, but what kinds of things do you learn about yourself from your characters? Like, what have you learned? Do you find like you didn't know you had that side to yourself and things like that, or how people respond to them?
Yeah, the response to the work is what kind of drives me in terms of like the next move that I make, in terms of what I make, if I'm not getting, mm-hmm. the point across, if people are asking questions that I don't find I want the work to be asked in that way, mm-hmm. or seen in that way, then I'm like, okay, I need to like, mm-hmm. direct it more like this. But yeah, for someone to look at one of the portraits where, you know, more recently I'm in a bathing suit on Venice Beach. And I know in the moment when I was working on that, I felt very self-conscious. Mm-hmm. And there's something that happens when I'm looking at the lens and I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm trying to get across and trying, mm-hmm. to block out, you know, the hot surfers walking by me and, mm-hmm. them maybe thinking, what the heck
does that chick think
she's doing?
Because you're standing there in a bathing suit on Venice Beach trying to photograph yourself.
Yeah, and I don't really just go to the beach and hang out anyway. It's not my...
Right. You look like you'd get sunburn.
I tan very nicely, actually.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. It's red hair thing, you know. So you take pictures of yourself. So how do you do that? How do you set it up? Like, where do you look? Is that a really naive
unphotographer? Where do I look?
Like, how do you know?
I usually go out with a friend. Uh-huh. So I'm never out by myself, but I'm never really with the same person. So,
But how do you know, like, that you're going to get a good photograph if you're in the photograph?
Well, it's a digital camera, so you can see it right away. You take the picture, you move, you look at it.
I got it.
Yeah,
I got it. See, isn't that like a dumb question?
No, it's cool.
And you have a thing that, what do they call that, a remote thing?
Nope, I'm not. Nope, I'm
so
over
what do you,
the remote.
It, so I don't, how do you do it?
I ask the person to push the button.
Oh, wow. So you're not the photographer at all then. You know, in copyright laws, that person owns all your photographs, I think.
Sell that to Gregory Crutzen. You don't ask him who's pushing the button, do you?
He's not.
Well, if you see his videos on how his work is made.
No, I haven't.
He's got a whole team.
I've seen the work.
It's the vision. It's the concept. You know,
I'll tell you something. I was dating a guy who went to Yale with him, and I went to one of his first openings and after parties at Teddy's in New York City in like the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't really remember me. No, it was really funny. He had a beautiful wife. So I've seen his career develop, but I probably know, you know, I don't know how he, yeah, it's like movies. It's turned into movie sets. It wasn't in the beginning.
It's a mix of movie and like out in the world. Yeah, it's a mm-hmm. lot. It's a big production, but.
Big production.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes. And, yes, it is. Yes, it is. What do you have? We have 15 minutes left. So I'm going to say this, so that as a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, I'm going to say you are way more well-adjusted than I am. And I might have even imagined. You are really well-adjusted.
Oh, stop.
I think so. I think part of it is because you have a, really good relationship with your mother. Is that right?
I think that's true.
Is that stabilizing for you?
It is. It's huge. Like, I can call her and text her and all that. You know, she's, like, there no matter what. And
your aesthetic, I'm guessing, is somewhat the same in some way. Or you are an extension of her creatively or part of – I wouldn't want to put it that bluntly, but I just did. but you know what I mean? You guys relate creatively and aesthetically, right? Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm more trying to organize her clutter in a way. Mm-hmm. But other than that, people will walk into the installations and say, well, whose space is this? And it's not a specific space that I'm recreating. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this made up world that right. I could see myself living in. But our references from like my grandparents' homes and, mm-hmm. you know, movie references, John Waters, mm-hmm. Big influence.
Yeah, we love him. He's around a lot in New York. Have you ever met him?
I haven't.
You would if you were here. You
should
meet him.
I gave him two of my posters of my characters once. I went to Baltimore to see because my mom used to live in Baltimore. So, mm-hmm. and she actually lived upstairs from Edith Massey's.
Oh, yes. My brother lives in Baltimore. Yes.
So my oldest brother was actually, you know, Edie would babysit him.
Oh,
time
no
to
kidding.
Time.
Really?
And
that's
my mom
awesome.
Has some old shots of, you know, John and Edie at parties
wow.
and stuff.
So they're really three-dimensional people to you.
Yeah. I think my so mom cool. would tell me stories about that time when she lived in Baltimore, how she got a gold tooth and just
really?
Being in the black neighborhood. And
wow.
it was just like, I think
Your
I
mom
just
sounds-
wanted to, I think of the, a lot of times the characters to me are like, if I was, you know, if my mom and I were the same age when she was mm-hmm. my age, mm-hmm. like who I would be
wow.
if I was hanging out with her.
Wow. Do you tell her that? She knows that, right?
Oh, she does now. If she's
You
listening.
Never said that to her? Oh, she would love to hear that. That's the most endearing thing I've ever heard. Aww. I think that's so sweet. Not ever, but yeah, no, that's sweet. Mom, you're awesome. Look what you've done.
Hi, Mom.
Be nice to your mothers. Is your mother listening to this right now, you think?
I don't know if she quite figured out the technology of it all, but she was trying, and if not, she will be listening to
it. It replays on Saturday morning at 11 a.m., and then on Monday morning at 5 a.m., if you're in Europe, you can listen to it. You're probably up. And then we'll put it on – we archive it on our site and Mixcloud, so she will have plenty of opportunity to hear it. So, you know, something you said was interesting. Did you feel like you brought up – you had a lot of clutter being brought up? Do you?
My mom has a very good eye for things, and she can get a deal very well. Mm-hmm. So she has an amazing collection of things that I can source from for my mm-hmm. own work.
But is there part of you that wants to organize that or take charge of that or control that in some way? That's just a psychological stupid
question. I think not necessarily that I have to control her stuff, but for myself – I'm like, okay, I want I want to have these cool things, but also have some sort of organization to it as well.
Did you feel like she wasn't as organized as you would have been? Did you ever feel like there was just too much crap around? Come on, let's hear it.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap around.
But when you were a kid, you look, Mom, you get free, you know, free whatever. You were great. You obviously did an awesome job. We're talking about it. But did you ever think when you were growing up, like, there's just too much crap in here? I wish we could get rid of some of this crap or put it in a box or something.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, Mom, we should open our own store and just have, like, a cool, like, shop that people would come to.
So I'm going to venture and say maybe that's somewhat of a motivation for you.
Maybe.
Yeah. Which is great, you know? I think you are really fucking mature and well put together and just sharp and smart. It's really threatening. Jesus. Like half, no, not half my age, but you. Anyway, but your mom, I'm sure your family does sound awesome. I wish they were here. I want to meet them all now. Can I come over for Thanksgiving this year, you think?
Yeah.
Where's it going to be?
Massachusetts.
All right. Let me know.
I don't know. My brother is getting married in July, so.
Could I come to that?
Yeah, maybe you should come to that.
Where is it? I do want to come. Where is it? I totally want to come.
He's going to be like, you just invited people.
Where is it?
He's getting married in Plymouth, Mass.
Oh. What day? Because I'm booking a. No, you got to invite me. I bet it's a great family. I'd love to see it.
I don't even get a plus one, man.
Really? You don't? Oh, because it's tight budget?
No. I don't think they think I'm going to be with anyone. I'm actually in
the
wedding.
Well, I was just going to ask you. Well, no surprise here. I was just going to ask you. I wanted to talk about dating and boy. I never assume. Are you heterosexual, bisexual, pansexual?
I'm label free, but I like boys.
Uh-huh. So have you had a lot of boyfriends or do you have a boyfriend now?
Yeah, it's like we don't have time to get into it. No, I'm just joking. No, I've had like three, one, two.
Have you had stable relationships? I'm guessing you have.
Not really.
No?
No.
Why do you think that is? Are guys threatened by your, you know, weirdness?
Maybe.
Your weird femininity? That it's not put into, like, a simple box? Meaning, like, you have so many, you're a complicated person. You visualize your self-image in many, many ways. I mean, that's complicated for a dude, right?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
So what happens with guys? Do you go out on dates? Oh, we're a little shy here. we don't want to.
I go, I'm on those dating sites, and I always get these guys. You know, like I could potentially be going on a date every night, but I have this fear that they're going to I'm going to show up and they're going to be like, wait, you don't look like your picture. That's
why. What picture do you put on there?
I don't know. But their pictures, usually guys don't have the best pictures on there. And I'm just like, well, obviously I'm going to I'm a photographer and I photograph myself.
Hey, you avoided that question. What picture? Because that's
several. Like, you can put more than one picture.
So, but do you, but are they like just normal just pictures? Art project pictures?
No, I might put one or two of those just so they know like that
but,
I'm a weirdo.
But it's clear that they're art pictures.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'll have like a wig on or something.
Okay. So do you meet guys through your artwork? You know, like other art guys or... You know,
I don't.
How about a rich collector, somebody like that? I mean, do people meet? You must meet a lot of people through making your work.
I meet a lot of people, but I don't. I have like zero game, and I have a hard time picking up if someone was maybe flirting with me.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that guys are intimidated in that situation because you're the artist and stuff like that?
I don't really think about it that much. I just assume that I'm not like usually the guy that I like doesn't like me, or at least it seems like that. And then the guys that like me, I'm just like, sorry, let's be friends.
So when was your last? So have you had a boyfriend at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When was that recently at all?
Not that recent.
We've got a little bit of an intimacy problem here. We don't know what it is, but there's a lot of giggling going on. I think we should get your mom on the phone. She probably understands.
Shit. She was asking me if there was any potential that there was a hot guy sitting next to me on the train down here. So she's
do you feel pressure from your mother?
Maybe more recently, but not really.
I don't think you should feel pressure. I think that your message is of who you are is so complicated, meaning like that you have so many characters built into this one person and you're exploring all the characters.
Yeah.
That the message that you put out into the world for a guy, it might be confusing, or it's not simple to them. You know what I mean? They can't just go like, oh, it's so they it may make them uncomfortable, because what we don't know, it's all instinctual, and guys are kind of simple. Hello.
No, I kind of hate the idea of going on dates like through online. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just want to put myself out in the world through my art the best way that I can, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in the realest way that I can, mm-hmm. and just hopefully the right guy will bump into each other and the conversation will start.
Yeah.
It's less pressure. I don't want to like have to show up somewhere.
No,
with all
I get it. I just want to make sure that, that you don't get like anxious. And you know, what's weird about you too is I'm getting, weird is the wrong word, but I think what's also complicated is that people are going to assume that you're like, that you when you start giggling, like you have a really shy side, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we don't think that. We don't think that. And guys are, they may not pick up on that. They are not going to think you're shy.
Right.
That's what I'm guessing. And mm-hmm. I think that could be an obstacle to meeting guys.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
That does make sense.
So I think it would be good if, I'll write you this prescription, but I would say that, it might be good to be compassionate to guys and assume that they like you, which they probably do. because you're pretty charming and appealing and a lot of things, and you have charisma and all that stuff. So I would like start off thinking that the guy is that you're a little shy, but the guy doesn't know that you're shy. So a little compassion and reach out to him.
Yeah.
Because a real asshole, that's going to be a ship in the night. You know what I mean? A guy who's like super out, confident and cocky. That's a ship in the night with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want you. You don't want them.
Right.
So I'm going to say that the guy that you're going to connect with is going to be a little bit shy, and if you notice a guy and he's standing by himself, don't think like what's going to happen. Think like there's somebody that I bet could use a friend.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I like that idea of like being like friends. And then it just being like, wow, we just click on all these levels. Like,
yeah. And also,
and I'm attracted to you. Let's
and you know what? Attraction doesn't, that's not the first thing. That doesn't necessarily be the first thing. People don't realize that. So we've got 2 minutes left. Is there anything, what do you have coming up that we can talk about that we can promote? Let's promote your gallery. Let's promote you.
Shulamit Nazarian Gallery.
And what's the address?
17 Venice Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
If you reach the ocean, you've gone too far. They're right on the edge there.
I'd love to have anything to do with the gallery where the problem was that too far you'd be in the ocean. I want to visit a gallery like that. Just go there where I'm close to the ocean.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. they're great. And
do you have anything coming up in the near future? Or?
I don't. I've been going like crazy since I had
spring break was huge. And
yeah,
you had a solo show.
I had a solo show right before that, and I came up with all new work for spring break. So
you did.
I'm just kind of taking a small break and just
enjoying,
connecting with people,
enjoying yourself a little.
Yeah,
bit.
But just kind of connecting with people and like
coming
I'm loving New York, and it's great.
Coming out of the basement, as it were. You're in the basement,
I'm
right
in
here.
Basement right, now.
right. Go ahead.
Oh, you can add me on Instagram.
Okay, we'll do
Creative
that.
Curvy Ginger.
Okay, we'll do that.
See, not that.
Dr. Lisa gives a shit. Dr. Lisa gives a shit. Dr. Lisa gives a shit.